If you're a believer, you're in a war, a spiritual war, that is. As Pastor Winston begins a brand new series entitled Spiritual Warfare, he'll explain how we're to dress for the battle and fight to win. Here's Pastor Winston with Spiritual Warfare.
All right, let's look here, and I'll start reading in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're talking on the subject of spiritual warfare. And it just so happens that a lot of God's people don't realize that we're in a war. They are traditional churchgoers, and they just come to church, one, to see who's there, and to be nosy and have something to talk about. Others come to hide because they're scared of what's going on out there, so they think these four walls will protect them. Others come to really seek God, to try to get a better life, to understand how to live in victory in this earth. And I just pray that all of us would come for that reason, so that we can go out here and finish the work which God has called us to do. So in terms of going into the enemy's camp here, the book of Ephesians is a book of warfare. And this is talking about, here Paul is talking about doing war in this earth realm. Now, as we're here in this earth realm, there are things that we see in this earth, and there are things that we don't see. There is more in the unseen realm than there is in the seen realm. I know there's a lot of things we're looking at out here, but there's much more in the unseen realm. A man wrote a book called, I think, This Present Darkness or something like that. And he was trying to write it to acquaint people who didn't know that much about spiritual things, But this spiritual realm out here pretty much is demonic control. And what we have to do as people of God is we are placed in this earth to make a difference. We're placed here to take back stolen property from the devil and to get a manifestation of his defeat in our lives and in our circumstances and in the environments that we're in. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, please, and verse 1. And you has he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I'd like you to note that it says that in time past, we, talking about us, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Let me please read that out of the Amplified translation, and perhaps we can get another degree of clarity. He says this, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. So I'm here to say that there is a power of the air functioning now. And it says that we were obedient to that and under the control, and it names it demon spirits. Demon spirits. Now, these are spirits that are now existing in this earth. And as I speak, they are the ones here to control this earth. They're the ones here to cause people to do things that are in line with the rebellion that Satan has inside of, as far as his agenda is concerned, rather than the godly way of operating and acting, which God wants from all of us. Verse 3 says, among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. So it says here that the people who are under the sway of these demon spirits are obeying and being governed by, their behavior is governed by, their sensual nature. Everything to them is sensual. It is not walking according to the Spirit and according to the Word of God. It is walking against according to the sensual nature, the passions of the flesh. Paul said something about the flesh. Let me show you this. Glory to God. I didn't mean to talk about all this, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, please, and verse 9. 1 Corinthians, verse 9. Now, what I'm trying to get to you is this, is that we've been sent in this earth to make a difference. We've been sent in here because the demons have been running this thing. But now, us is here. We are here to take over. And what we've got to do is realize that we're on a mission here. We're on an assignment here, and we have been dispatched from heaven to take care of business on earth. And look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to somebody else, I myself might be a castaway. Now, what did he say? I keep under my body. He didn't say I put under my body. Because just because you put it under today don't mean it's going to stay under tomorrow. So what you got, Lord have mercy, I feel like preaching here. So what you got to do is every day you've got to pray. Every day you've got to get in God's presence. Every day you've got to read the scriptures. If I want to weaken my body, I just fast. And I fast for days. In fact, my body gets weak. Well, if I want to weaken my spirit, I fast. I fast from the Word of God. I just don't see. I don't get in God's presence. I don't pray. I don't read my scriptures. And when I do, my spirit gets weak. And when my spirit gets weak, there is no spiritual power. You see, the devil don't move because of your flesh. The devil moves because of your spirit. And when you speak to the devil and release the spiritual power of faith, the devil got to do something. And if you don't get no word, how you gonna get some faith? Because faith don't come by me laying hands on you. Faith don't come by just saying, praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes, indeed.
So what people think is they think that they can neglect the Word of God and go out here and live like God wants them to live. I guarantee you, you're not doing it. Nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. Every day you come before God and it's just like you getting putting clothes in a washing machine. The Bible says washing of the water of the Word of God. The Word of God is water, and that water you wash your spirit. Just like natural water you wash your body. If you ain't had a bath in a week, I don't want to come around you. If you ain't washed your spirit in a week, your mind is thinking about fornication. Your mouth is talking about some stuff that God ain't talking. Oh, Lord, I'm preaching now. I'm preaching now. Now, I got to teach this tonight. Y'all, somebody trying to make me preach. No, you can't do that. You can't do it. So don't think you can do it. You can't do it. The enemy is just trying to deceive you. You got to keep your body up. And you got to make it do something it don't want to do. And that is pray. Because it don't want to pray and it don't want to read the Word of God. You ought to have you at least a devotional. Just some kind of little book that it tells you to read these scriptures this morning. Just do that. Just do that. That's a tremendous help right there. But see, when you don't do that, as soon as the enemy puts pressure on you, then he starts to control you. Because next thing you know, sister says something to you and you go off. Blah, 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 blah. And you didn't have no business going off. If you had enough word in you, you would have said, sister, I love you too. Thank you. Praise God. I love you. All right, come on over. Let's look up 2 Thessalonians, please. Glory. See, you can't come up in here and look all holy.
Come on, preacher. Tell it.
Tell it. See, you can fool the people, but you can't fool God and you can't fool the devil. But one day, if you keep hanging around like that, you're going to get caught. See, Samson thought he could deal with Delilah every day and not get caught. But one day, Delilah put enough pressure on you, on him, and he gave Delilah the secret. Am I right about it? The next thing you know, he got his eyes poked out. He was grinding like an ox, and he was working for the world, and he was a disgrace. The devil will try to set you up. See, and some folk ain't dealt with stuff in their life, and it's just like having a powder keg under your arm, you know. You're walking along in life, but the powder's dripping. You're walking along in life, but the devil knows he got a head. You follow what I'm saying? Don't get quiet over me. He's walking along in life. But when the devil sees you get high enough, he'll light that thing. He'll light it. He'll disgrace you. He'll make that thing blow up right in your face. Now I'm just here, and listen, I love you, but you want the truth, don't you? Yeah. Nothing but the truth. I'm talking about nothing but the truth. Folks, we got to stop walking around like we fooling everybody. That dog won't hunt. All right, let's go to the place. Let's go. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Thessalonians. It's all right. It's all right. But the church. See, you got to. You're in the world, but what? You're not of the world. You're not of the world. He said, Jesus said, Lord, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but keep them above the evil. Don't take them out. We beam me up, God. And he ain't beaming you up. He's leaving you right here to take care of some business. Amen. And you can hold yourself. Say amen to that. I keep under my body. It's my choice. If you, Paul said, in your body, there's no good thing. That thing came, when the ground got cursed, it got cursed. That thing is looking for an opportunity to sin. But what you got to do is say, you ain't doing nothing but what I tell you to do. You got to tell your body that. Amen. And that's late at night with them cakes and pies and so forth. Tell your body, you ain't getting nothing. Now, your body will try to talk back now.
It's going to say, you a fool, I am getting something. I'm going to eat that. You say, no, you ain't. Come on now. You know you're trying to lose weight. Can't get in that dress, you know that. Come on, we want you to look good. When you put your weave on, we want you to go up, be able to come on up in here and be right. Come on now, we got company tonight. Praise God. All right, let's act right. All right, look what it says. Come on. Are we talking about spiritual warfare now? We're talking about spiritual warfare. But it starts right in here, see. Starts with us. The devil is after you. He's after containing the church. He couldn't stop you from getting saved, but now that you got saved, he's going to stop you from being effective. Because there's a job you've been sent to do. All right, look what it says here in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, all right? Verse 2-3, let's start there. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, let's start at the end of that. With all power. Let's hold your hand right there. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. Hallelujah. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, unto Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, Lord have mercy, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something here. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But when you go back here to 2 Thessalonians, come on back again. It says in verse 9, Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, if you put in your Bible something, it'll clear it up. All the power that he has. All the power that he has. But Jesus has all power. Satan is going to use all the power that he has. Come on now. Come on, y'all with me here. See, and don't think he got all power. Because what has happened is people have thought that Satan got all power. And soon as you look at the movies, you look at the movies in Hollywood has always fashioned Satan as being the one, the evil one, the one that eats up everybody. The being from outer space that comes in and tears up everybody and kills everybody and so forth. Well, you got to understand, and even that those movies where they have the little girl that demon possessed and her head spins around and then she spews out some green stuff, and then here come the priest. He come and he try to hold up the cross. And the cross and him go across the wind room. See, it makes you think that Satan got more power than God. Come on now. Come on.
But see, when Satan come up against you, he's not coming up against you. He's coming up against God. See, you didn't send you. God sent you. And what you have to do is realize you're just in the middle of the fight. And all your job is to say what he said. See, just tell Satan what he said. Because when you tell him what he said, he can make a move on. Can't you see it? He can make a move on. That word, all power, means all authority. See, he's delegated authority to control the earth to you. He's going to take care of it. You just stand in between the devil and him. Don't you try to fight the devil. You just fight the good fight. Come on, come on, come on. Ain't no way in that tells you to fight the devil. He is already defeated. He is under. If you got anything to say, tell him to write it on the bottom of your shoe. Come on, let's stomp on him just a little bit. Praise God. Glory to God. Let me tell you, folks. Says he is as a lion. It didn't call him a lion. He said he is as a lion. He lost his teeth. He can't do nothing but and see some Christian. But if you put on the whole armor, then he doesn't know the difference between you and Jesus. As long as you keep the faceplate down and keep your mouth right. But if you let the faceplate up and say, oh, Lord, what's going to happen now? He'll say, I knew that was you. Boom. You ain't got no business letting the faceplate up. Keep the thing down. Keep on the whole armor of God. Now, let's look at this. Verse 6 and 7. Now ye know, what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying that the church is the responsible agent for holding back iniquity.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. That's amen.
We're the ones.
That's right. Amen.
We're the ones. We are holding back Satan from taking over this planet.
That's right. That's right.
You can hold him back in people's lives. You can hold him back in the community.
Yes.
You can hold him back in your city.
Yes.
You can hold him back. Say amen to that. You can even put a bloodline down there and he won't even cross it. Are you with me here? So we've got to see that we've got something to say in this earth. And what has happened is we've had a distorted picture of the enemy. And what you believe, you'll receive. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. Praise God. Are y'all with me? We got something to say here. And it's time for us to say it. Just don't let the devil run over us with all that corruption, all that mess. And so we can stop this. Charles Finney would come to town and he would pray. He and this other fellow would pray and so forth. And for 50-mile radius, people would fall over there manufacturing. They were working on things and they'd fall over and tell people they want to be saved. For 50 miles around, every bar in town closed. Because of a man's prayer. Don't tell me we don't have something to say. Here we are carrying picket signs. Folks, we got a weapon that is much. We ain't. wrestle against picket signs and flesh and blood. It's the principalities and powers that we're coming against. Say amen to that. Jesse Duplantis was out there. Y'all heard of Jesse Duplantis, haven't? He was out there, and he said he was in that rock band, and I mean, he was high as a kite, as a Georgia pine, we used to say. And here he was in the place just about to perform, and the phone rang. The guy told him, said, Jesse Duplantis, you got a phone call. He picked the phone and said, who is this? Jesse? Mama? Mama? Jesse? Get out of that place. Mama, how'd you know it was me? How'd you know I was here? The Lord told me where you were. I'm telling you, you can get up there with the Lord and he'll tell you where them kids at. He'll tell you what's going on. Come on, some of y'all, somebody gonna hear me tonight. The devil ain't got no power. The only power he's got is what we let him have. Amen. Amen. All right, let's see if we finish this. Praise God. Now, so we are seated together with him. Now, let's look at that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Amen. See, we're supposed to go out and cast out the devil. Amen. Amen. You know you got to be halfway right to cast the devil out of somebody else. You can't cast no nicotine devil out of somebody. You got a cigarette. You ain't gonna care. Ain't no nicotine devil gonna come. You cast him out, he'll be saying, "Hey, what? You ain't gonna cast me out. How you gonna cast me out? And you need a smoke." All right, look what it says here. Where did I tell you to turn? All right. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, where? In heavenly places. Come on. Far. Now, come on, read it again. Far. Come on, read it again. Far. Come on, read it again. Far. Come on, one more time. Far. Now, the reason why I wanted to stop there is this. Far above all what? Principalities and power. Now, let me give you the word in the Greek. It means far, 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 far above. It's like a general walking into a room full of buck privates.
Come on.
He got so much rank over them until it is pathetic.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying that Jesus is seated far, 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 far above.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Got it? So he is up there right now at the right hand of the Father. But come on down here to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And has raised us up, come on, together, and made us sit, how far? Far in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that means when you got that much rank, you don't have to say it but once. Come on now, come on now. You ain't got to say it but once. See, so here's what you do. All right, let's look at this now because we're talking about going into the enemy's camp. And the first thing we got to do is get the picture right. Now, I told you Mark chapter 4, didn't I? We didn't go there, so let's go back. Mark chapter 4, very quickly, very quickly. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with the what measure you meet, it shall, come on, be measured unto you again. So if you think you got to sit there all day and command the devil come out and so forth, if you've got to fight with the devil, come on, if some of the demons are stronger than you, whatever you think is the way it's going to be measured to you. Is somebody here?
Yes.
Now, I'm talking about walking by faith. Now, I know that I've been brought in circles and we did this and did that and so forth. But I'm telling you, there's the best of God that we can have. And the best is role modeled by Jesus. If you want to know how to do it, go look at Jesus. Now, I know there's a whole lot of other ways of doing it, but there's a way that we can do it. You see, we got so much authority until we speak to the devil, he's got to do something. Say amen to that. And sometimes in demons, glory to God. Can I go somewhere now? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you got some demons, they're getting restless right about now, but that's all right. They're coming out. Hallelujah. Just sit here and go through it. Matthew chapter 12. Let me know when you get there. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not what? Stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? But if I by Beelzebub cast out what? Devils. By whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the what? By the what? By the what? Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and do what? Spoil his goods, except he what? First bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. So when you come into certain areas, they have a strong man. And the strong man is that principality that is actually not only ruling that area, but pipelining strength to the other demons that are in there. And sometimes when getting a person delivered, demons have to come out in a certain order. Oh, I'm preaching good now. I'm about to go off. Oh, boy, the devil don't like this here, boy. We got, that's why I plead the blood over you when I started. See, amen. The blood is over you now. And I bind all retaliation spirits in the name of Jesus. I loose angels right now. Right all around you. Praise God. All right, let's look at this because there's a strong man. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 again. Mark chapter 4. Glory to God. See, strong men can hold your money.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Strong men can hold your man. Oh, Lord have mercy. Let me go back here. Amen. Amen. All right. Where did I tell you to go? See, that's why you don't want to marry anybody that's not born again. Because the Bible says that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? See, God has no fellowship with the devil. So if the devil has occupied somebody, they're not saved. He or she, it doesn't make any difference. And you sometimes we work trying to get them saved and so forth, they ain't saved and so forth. I remember this guy in Minnesota, and he said, listen, he said, I came back and I said, hey, I said, yeah, what happened? He said, yeah, he said, I believe God wants me to marry her. I said, now, wait a minute now, is she saved? He said, well, she's not saved. But we working on it. I said, watch it. I say, bruh man. That's what I used to call everybody. Bruh man, look, don't do it. Oh, okay, Pastor, okay. I thought he took my word for it. Went right back, didn't he? Went right back, married her in secret. And see, when that happens, the devil just want to get in there. Because he's trying to stop you from being effective. See, he knows if you walk with Jesus, you're going to prosper. And when you prosper, you're going to take what he's got. And so, she started wearing him out. Because see, that night that they consummate the marriage, then after that, the devil got what he want. Then now the next morning, you look over there, then you say, oh, Lord. Then you call me. Well, that ain't no time to call me. See, listen. I got an account of here, Brother Kenneth Hagin, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, who's going on to be with the Lord. He said the woman was brought to him who was violently insane. And she was brought to him. And when she came into his presence, she began to spout off scripture. Just like that. The devil knows more scripture than you. Right now. Don't think that's a mark.
Come on.
The devil knows scripture. He spouted scripture of Jesus.
Right.
Jesus said, yeah, I know that, but it is also written.
Yes,
don't think all that man knows some scripture, that woman knows some scripture. Man, they'll go to church, get some scripture. Now, I ain't talking about nobody's man, but I'm saying try the spirits. You got to try the spirit. And the one way you try them, it don't give them nothing. Just hold back and just be cool. And just, you know what I'm saying? Just keep yourself holy and just stay holy. Come on, just stay holy. I know what I'm talking about. Just stay holy. The devil cannot stand time. Because time will reveal things.
Boy, this is amazing. No. What I'm saying is I understand bringing people and taking people and trying to help people and so forth. But don't be yoked with an unbeliever. Because an unbeliever belongs to the devil. That is their spiritual father. When I was unsaved, I belonged to the devil, and everybody knew it. Say amen to this. All right? But now I belong to Jesus, and everybody knows it. And that's where you should be. You're in this world, but what? You're not of this world. Are we all right? Is everybody all right? Everybody all right? Let me tell you, God loves people. He says his desire is that all be saved. Okay, so I'm letting you know that if you're falling in certain one category or the other, remember, God loves you. And if he didn't love you, you wouldn't even be here tonight.
Amen.
He probably had to do some things to override some things that the devil had planned for your life just to get you here tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's all right. Don't feel embarrassed about it because I had to come the same way.
Amen.
See, I was busy pretending, acting like I had something and I didn't have it. And that's what you do sometimes. You pretend because you want to fit in. You don't want to be. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's just get this. We'll be out. Praise God. Amen. Spiritual warfare. All right, we're seated with him in heavenly places. Now, when we're doing that, that means that we're part of the body of Christ. Now, just look at this. Now, Jesus is the head of the body. Say head.
Head.
We are the body. Okay? So now Jesus is actually finishing his ministry through us. We are his body. You got what I'm saying? So in the spirit, they are all connected. They're all connected. You don't go downtown and come back and say, I saw Bill Winston's head downtown today. Now, you just saw my head in the car. You knew the rest of my body was up in there somewhere. Okay? So I'm just saying that you can't have a head without the body attached. Okay. All right. Now, look at this. I won't go through all of this because it's just too much. Y'all love me? Now, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you to the place where if there's a demon that needs to be cast out, you can move in there with confidence. And you can know that God can use you to cast out a devil. And you don't need to be afraid of the devil or afraid of them. I told some people, I said, if a monster ever come in your room from outer space, just bind him. Just bind him in Jesus' name. Okay? All right, look what it says. Here is where Jesus was going over to the other side with a bunch of his disciples. But when he got going in the water, they started going over to the other side. A great storm came up. And this storm was about to kill him. Okay? Now, look what it says here, verse 38. And he was a hind apart asleep on the pillow, and they awake him and said to him, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And the wind, what? Cease. And there was a great, what? Calm. Now, Satan comes to do what? What's his M.O.? Steal, come on, kill, and destroy. All right? Now, watch this. Jesus rose, rebuked it, and said, peace be still, and there was a great calm. So notice, Jesus took his authority and used his authority to stop that storm. Now, question, where was the storm from? God or from Satan? Satan, how do you know that? One, because Jesus rebuked it. If it was from God, he wouldn't have. Got it? So verse 40, and he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. So that's what the enemy was after. Because without faith, he's got you covered. But you need to stay in faith all the time. And they were feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's continue on. And they came over to the other side of the sea and to the country of the Gadarenes. And when they would come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had a dwelling among tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder in him by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High God, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. Now, this is the devil. Now, he's speaking through a man that he has possessed. Possession is the last stage of demonic occupation. Possession. It has to do with more than influence. The devil can influence people daily. But possession is where he takes over your will. No longer do you have a choice of will. He takes it completely over. And when a person got to have drugs, they got to do this, they so forth and so on, now they can't get loose themselves. They need help to get out of possession. So Jesus sent us there as help to get people out of that place where they were. Brother Hagin said that when that lady came to him and so forth, violently insane, she tried to kill herself and even tried to kill others. And he said she had been in a padded cell in an asylum. And then what happened is her health had deteriorated so much until the doctors recommended that she go on furlough and come out of that place because she was just going to die there. But he was no longer considered dangerous. So then they brought him to Brother Hagin, and then Brother Hagin, of course, spoke to that demon and commanded that unclean spirit. He said, come out of her, you unclean devil, in the name of Jesus. And then the woman sat there staring at him just like a statue. Days later, the woman had violent attacks, Brother Hagin was not disturbed because he knew that he had loosed his faith on that woman and the finger of God was at work. And then pretty soon the attacks lifted. The woman was completely normal, went back to the doctor. The doctor pronounced her normal. 20 years later, she was happy, still healthy, and started teaching Sunday school. Now, what I'm saying here, what is the devil doing here? Advertising for Jesus? I know who you are, the Son of God. No, he wasn't. Okay? He was saying, I adjure you that you torment me not. Here's what he was saying. I know who you are. You're God. And you can't touch me without a man. And God can't. Now, you better hear what I'm saying. He turned the authority of the earth over to us. And God needs us to come in and mediate that situation. He needs you to say something to that devil so he can move. Say amen to this. Now, I'm just saying, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. This is very important. Now, notice what he didn't do. He didn't stay there, Brother Hagin, and say, come out for half a day. He loosed his faith. And when he loosed his faith, the Spirit of God went to work. I did that in Tulsa. I went there and had a meeting at this place. And then one of these guys were acting up in the back. And I knew some demons were troubling him. I told him to bring him up after I finished teaching. And I rebuked the devil. He fell on the ground, kind of foaming at the mouth and so forth. But I knew all them demons weren't gone. So I loosed my faith on him. They said that he went home that night. And he went. And at midnight or something, a full moon was out. He stood up, looked out of the window, howled like a wolf, and fell backward, boom, and stayed there for an hour like he was dead, and got up the next morning and went and got a job for the first time in 3 years. You know what was working? God was working. I may not have been there, but the Spirit of God was there. Who was that? Wigglesworth? He was there on a healing line, laying hands on people, getting them healed. Got to this one man. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, what's up? Wigglesworth's real rough. What's up? He said, well, I've got heart problems and my stomach has and so forth and ulcers and so forth. And God said, hit him in the stomach. Wigglesworth took his fist, boom, hit the man in the stomach. Hey, man, buckle over and fell on the ground. Wigglesworth moved on to the next man. Moved on down. Next man. They came down to God and said, Mr. Wigglesworth, this man, he's not breathing. He's dead. He ain't dead. He's healed. Went on down with him. Mr. Wigglesworth, the man is not breathing. The doctors checked him out and he's dead. He's healed. Went on down in him. He said, Mr. Wigglesworth, the man is dead. He's healed. And when he said that, the man jumped like that, got up and went over and got some Mexican food over there across the street. Now, hear what I'm saying. Now, that's the truth. That's the truth. Now, I'm not talking about what kind of food and so forth, but that's the truth. See, when you say it, I said when you release it and you say it in faith, your faith is working night and day and will not come back till the job is done. You better hear what I'm telling you. Woo, that's good preaching. So what's up now? He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Some people say Legion is anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 demons loaded in that man. Now, what was happening? Legion was a strong man. I can guarantee you that strong man was causing that storm. Didn't want him to come to that side. That strong man had controlled that whole coast. Strong men controlled territories. But he dealt with that strong man. He said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. He came back and found a man sitting at the feet of Jesus. Watch this. Clothed. And in his right mind. You see, when demons take over a body, they don't like them to wear many clothes. Watch it. It always, I'm going too deep. I see I'm going too deep. One more place. Luke chapter 9. We out. No, I don't like wearing many clothes. Y'all better hear what I'm saying now. Y'all did come for the truth, didn't you? Okay, Luke chapter 9. Did I say Luke 9? Verse 51. Luke 9, 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is Jesus now, going to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, burn them up, just like Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but I came to save them. And he went to another village. Let me tell you what's happening. Why didn't they come out to Jesus' meeting? They had been doing it other places. Well, they didn't know. They thought the people were just rebelling. They accused the people of something and wanted to call fire down and destroy them because they wouldn't come out to the meeting. Here's why they didn't come. Jesus didn't pray for that village. He prayed for Jerusalem. See, if you want to go somewhere, it's like track. If you want the engine and the power to go, you got to first lay some track. Prayer is track. Sunday, last service, well, we got souls saved all the services, but last service, about 80 souls were saved. That's because the intercessors had laid some track. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise for it.
For further information, please contact us at 708-697-5000 or online at www.livingwd.org. To view a live worship service, log on to our website, Sundays at 11:15 a.m. and at our Wednesday night service at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Until next time, keep walking by faith.